Well, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Inches Podcast, a podcast that looks at sports sponsorship and event sponsorship and how digital is affecting the industry. I'm your co-host, Nick Lawson, co-founder of a company called Squad Sports. We're helping sports teams and events connect fans to sponsors digitally through mobile activations and contests. And actually, in person this time, for the first time in 2 weeks, here with Rich Franklin.
Well, I've been here all along. So you're the one that's been on the road, Nick.
But I've been on the road. Traveling around, but Rich Franklin, VP of Corporate Partnerships and Sales for the Portland Winterhawks Hockey Club. It's good to be back in Portland, although I heard Friday was beautiful and 60. And
Friday was incredible. Yeah, it was like 61 degrees here.
And now it's
on 20, January 31st.
Yep, and now it's, you know, it's 20-something. It was cold on the East Coast. I don't know. I just can't. I feel like I'm bringing the cold weather with me everywhere I go.
Maybe so. And I hear we're in for some torrential rain starting like this afternoon, this evening. So.
Perfect. Perfect time to come back.
So welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to be back. It was a good trip. It's always good to get out on the road, actually see teams, actually see how they're engaging with sponsors. And that kind of goes into this week. Not so much of a topic, but just kind of what was big, and we were just chatting about this before we came in, is the amount of value that digital is bringing to these teams, how important it is to have it in your packages, and I'll give a few stories. But I think the big thing this week is really around, and Rich, you've been seeing this from square one, just because, as you said, you put 2 feet in and went all in digital, but just being out there chatting with teams and kind of seeing what's happening in the sponsorship landscape, sponsors want digital assets.
There you go.
Period. That's what they want and what they need. Actually, YouTube's, I thought this was interesting stat too, going on digital, somewhat in the same light. YouTube, for the first time ever, put out their earnings, their revenue, which is owned by Google. And it was more than NBC, Fox, and ABC. The only one it wasn't combined. The only one it wasn't is if you added CBS, which has SEC and some of these other big
ones.
There you go. So it's dollars are being spent there. Digital is kind of where it's really at. And I guess I'll start off with the sort of first piece to that.
Can I throw something in here first? Okay. So basically what we're going to be hearing here is the summary of Nick's 2 weeks on the road as far as what's hot, what are sponsors buying in the digital world right now.
Yep.
Now, me being the sponsorship salesperson for the Portland Winterhawks, what I'm going to remind everybody as you listen to this is the idea here is not to trade dollars.
Yep.
The idea is to take digital assets as a way to get either new business from new sponsors or incremental business from existing sponsors.
Yes.
So none of this is going to do you really net any good unless you are using these kinds of opportunities, listening to what Nick is about to say and saying, how can I use these to either upsell somebody that I currently have or go out and find a new sponsor that I currently don't have at all.
And I think that's a common misconception. I'm glad you brought that up because...
Well, that's why I brought it up.
Some people that I chat with, and even last week, it was, hey, this sponsor is only looking for digital. And it's digital should be a way that you open up more doors towards some of your traditional, just because we've talked about passive and active assets and how they sink in. But it's one of those things where, again, 2 weeks on the road, eye-opening, seeing teams engage, chatting with them. I guess the first thing I'll start off with is digital coupons. I mean, the number one thing that either teams or partners said that sponsors loved and what fans loved was just taking those coupons and turning them digital. For the sponsor side, it's scalable, it's trackable. It's a coupon code. They don't have to print a bunch of coupons to hand out. On the fan side, it's really easy to play, win, and have it come into their email. So, you know, as you're looking at sort of your digital assets, what I'm hearing is obviously, yeah, digital is great. It's a hot word, but what's that specific thing? number one thing that popped up was just coupons.
And coupons are a really good thing to offer a couple of different ways. Number one would be if you have something like a digital scratchers, which we have here at the Winterhawks, mm-hmm. and you're working with other teams on, where it's just like a scratch ticket, mm-hmm. where except it's digital, it's on your phone, you swipe your finger across it, rub it, and it reveals a prize or yep. a coupon, something like that. The other cool way to do some couponing / rewards is to link it to something that's going on
yep.
out on the field, out on the court, out on the ice. Mm-hmm. Where, for example, we have a deal here with the Winterhawks with Jimmy John's, mm-hmm. and it's called the Freaky Fast First Goal of the Game. Mm-hmm. And basically the idea is we're tying into the Jimmy John's Freaky Fast messaging to say that if the Winterhawks score a goal in the first 3 minutes of the first period, that was a Freaky Fast goal. And if you were checked in on your Winterhawks app, we will automatically email you a coupon
yep.
that you can redeem at a Portland area Jimmy John's.
Yep.
So, again, real simple way to do it. And as I suggested, either you tie it to something like a scratch and win, or you tie it to some sort of on-field, on-court metric or event or happening
yep.
Is a great way to do it, because then you've got the fan and the sponsors. The fans engaged with what's happening, thinking, hey, I might win a prize here. And you're integrating that sponsor brand into the game action itself.
Yep. Yeah, any way you can fit that in is amazing, and it even adds to that piece. Obviously, then you're getting awareness from the scoreboard read of just even acknowledging that it's there, and Jimmy John's is getting that branding, or maybe a rink board that says Freaky Fast Goal, right? Don't forget to check in. But couponing is key. I mean, it's almost a killer thing of just, if you can go to a restaurant, or, and we've talked about how couponing sometimes isn't always what the sponsor wants, but if you can go to retail and fast food and tell them you have digital couponing that can get sent directly to fans, and you can get data on who won that, mm-hmm. it's just almost a done deal.
There you go.
That ties into the number two, which kind of ties in also to number three, but two different stories here. We actually chatted with a team that presented our mobile scratcher to a sponsor. It was in the food kind of business. And that sponsor pretty much said, this is exactly what I was looking for from my partnerships. I want to buy this immediately. And it was a very, very fast purchase, faster than what we usually have for an asset. And then they wanted to also share it with their other teams, just because some of those digital pieces weren't being conveyed by some of the other teams. I guess the key point there that I want to bring up is, don't be afraid to kind of show those digital pieces or digital activations within your assets. Mm-hmm. Talking with a lot of people on the other side of things, there's sort of the sense of signage is being really jammed down my throat with no other digital assets. And, for a lot of our teams, in some of our teams that are pitching this, sometimes it'll take a while to get them to actually get this into their packages and put it out there. So I think the biggest thing kind of from really looking on this road trip is, don't be afraid to take an activation, whether it's a YouTube, channel where you're giving tips, whether it's, I know you guys do on LinkedIn, sort of Mike Johnson's tip of the week.
Right.
Don't be afraid to put that in the packages. The worst they say no. More likely, though, with digital today, they're going to say yes. So get crazy, get creative. You can always come back. Obviously, find what's going to be that fit for them.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I'm seeing, there's not enough of people taking those risks just because the reward and the opportunity is so high on that.
There you go. Cool.
The third piece, which was a really interesting conversation I had with somebody who right when around the sports betting, and this kind of goes into the gaming stuff we were getting into, was coming to fruition. Her job for one of the big casinos was to literally, she got a lump of money and was to go out and spend it.
Whoa!
Just on
there's
that
jobs
piece.
Like that?
And that's
where they give you money and your job is to go out and spend it?
And, just based on her sort of notes or what we kind of chatted about was just, again, kind of going back to signage. signage was the first step that was pitched to her, even though if you really kind of think about casinos, and we chatted about this a little bit in the gaming, it's just database. Database is so powerful, and kind of the feedback there was just, you know, one, ask those correct questions before you kind of pitch, but two, if you know casinos really care about database, make sure that your first hit isn't a giant sign, just right. because there's not that sort of feed there. So that's just a position of, you know, some teams, I guess, pitching the wrong asset and not doing enough research to where it's just, hey, here's what I have. Let me just throw that in, and being more calculated on that, and then making sure that your digital is coming to the forefront. Why not start off with the digital piece and then move on to the signage?
Well, and the fact that you're talking about database retargeting, compiling an email list, using that sponsor's partnership with your team as a way to build affinity with the fan slash consumer, that's all really, really important stuff. So I think the point that we're getting at here, listeners, is make sure that you understand the importance of gathering data, database building, and using that data to then retarget with follow-up messaging during the off-season or anytime, really. Mm-hmm. But leverage that fan's passion along with gathering that data.
Absolutely. There, and that's kind of was her, almost word for word, we knew that this customer had a passion toward our product. How can we best get sort of into that and in front of that piece? And I think just the overall thing, and I may have iterated here already, but it's just push digital to the forefront just because it's where money's being spent. You know, you don't, if you're in the championship game, you don't start your third string quarterback. Come out, really come into digital. If they say no and they want a signage piece to it, obviously adapt to that. But just where the money's being spent, how brands think today. It could be as easy as social media posts. It could be as complex as, you know, an entire digital scavenger hunt across the entire season. But make sure you're really brainstorming on those and getting those into your packages, just because it is the number one thing. It's brands want it, brands need it. We've talked about, obviously, on this podcast, things that can set you up for success. But the number one thing from the 2 weeks on the road was just how, if I was still in the sponsorship sales game, it would be, how can I get these digital assets to the forefront?
Right.
Because if you're the team that's doing it, and going back to the casino example, the teams that did put it to the forefront got most of the money.
There you go.
On that side. Yeah. So.
I saw in a couple of your posts from the road, I think on LinkedIn, several teams doing trivia.
A lot of teams are doing trivia. I call it Signage 2.0. It has the awareness of getting it throughout the entire stadium, but also collects that data, collects those insights.
And it's that active signage thing that we talked about before.
Yeah,
you're not just looking at the brand, you're engaging and interacting with the brand.
Yep, 100%. And that's, you know, whether it's our trivia or another trivia, or you creating your own one where fans are tweeting in or whatever that is, if you can get that signage to be active, as we've talked about, that's another piece where brands are just saying yes immediately, just because they see that interactive piece and it's used to what they're seeing with other, let's say, digital ads that are out there that's engaging on that side.
What are you seeing out there in terms of things like streaming, audio, features, little short digital features like on YouTube or TikTok or any of those other platforms that teams are doing these days?
You know, video is the consumption of digital video is massively growing. And brands know that, and they're starting to.
And it's not just the live consumption. Part of it is the live, but part of it is everything else.
Part of it, and this goes kind of back to when Tyler was in here, and we asked him, "Hey, how do you consume long form?" And it was YouTube. It wasn't, "Hey, I watch, you know, ESPN for the 30 for 30s to pop up."
Right.
So, you know, funny enough stat. So Arsenal TV, which is not linked to the actual Arsenal club, it's just some fans that literally said, "Hey, we're going to create a YouTube channel around this They go to all the games, they interview fans, they have analysis. I think they have a little bit over 1 million subscribers.
Jeez.
They do $750,000 in ad revenue from YouTube a month.
Wow.
From that.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
And a little bit scary, right? Because Arsenal doesn't own that piece. So I think that's on the streaming side of outside of your stadium. Today with YouTube, you can create your own, basically, cable channel.
Yeah.
Brands who are already spending on YouTube pre-roll,
yep.
That's an easy thing to add into their package and yep. make it more engaging.
Well, and we see here at the Winterhawks, I think we've talked about this before, we do a video feature, I think it's about monthly,
mm-hmm.
where it's this season-long series of videos called Dad Jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally, we're taking our players and we're doing it almost like a bracket-style tournament,
yep.
where our players take turns reading bad, corny dad jokes
yep.
to each other, trying to make the other guy laugh. And if you laugh fewer times, you advance in the bracket. And eventually we're going to crown a dad jokes champion.
Yep.
And it just amazes me how many views that content gets, how many times it gets shared, retweeted, whatever the platform may be, that people really like that. Plus, it's a great way to kind of build your players' personalities
yep.
A little bit, getting your fans understanding what kind of guys these are,
mm-hmm.
with their helmets off or off the court or off the ice.
Yep.
I think there's a good element to that as well. But it's just sort of fun to play along, too, as these guys are reading these bad jokes and you're waiting for the punchline.
And it's easy.
And it's,
I mean, it's two people, two mics, and a camera kind of doing that. So
exactly.
It doesn't have to be in arena. It doesn't have to be those active versus passive. You can create more assets on YouTube, on TikTok, on all these channels. But I think just overall, it's brainstorming those today,
yep.
whether you're in season or in off season, seeing what those low hanging fruit that you can set up,
mm-hmm.
and then get those into packages
to the sponsors.
It's yep. just it's
and again, remember, don't trade dollars.
Yes,
use these as incremental.
Exactly. Add-ons, reasons why they should come back with the signage, telling that story, how the signage is really going to impact and pull that person in, even though it's a passive piece of or asset or a piece of the package. That's definitely there. I just am almost to the point where it's you don't even lead with that.
Yep.
Those are complimentary.
Well, I mean, I know in my case, digital is definitely... I mean, if I had to grade or rank my asset offerings A, B, and C, definitely digital's up at the A,
yep.
up at the A level.
Yep.
And it's just because we're making good money with it. And most importantly, that's what the sponsors are wanting,
yep.
are those kinds of opportunities and everything that goes along with it.
And I think a common misconception for why people don't want to do it is hard. They think,
yep.
oh, digital's hard to learn. To implement all of that, but it's not. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of time to create a weekly video show that can go on YouTube,
right.
Facebook, cut it up for TikTok, Twitter, all of that.
Or you just, package up, take your post-game highlights and
yep.
you've got a goal of the week or a touchdown of the day or whatever it may be.
And that's easy.
It's easy to do. You're taking that shorter bite-sized piece of content out there.
Yep.
We had another one at our game last Saturday night, I think
mm-hmm.
it was, Friday night, whatever
mm-hmm.
night that was. I lose track.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Yeah. One of our players, Cross Hannes, you may be familiar in hockey with the lacrosse-style
yep.
goal. It's called the Michigan. It's called something else. But it's basically where the player is behind the opponent's goal
mm-hmm.
and then scoops the puck up with their stick, lacrosse
mm-hmm.
style, kind of wraps it around the goal
yep.
to score. And we've got a kid, a player, who has now done that not once but twice
yep.
this season. And boom, you take a really highlight reel goal like that, package it up. Oh my gosh, he did it again. We're now calling it the lacrosse Hannes goal.
Nice.
And suddenly it goes all over the place. It
yep.
goes viral. And sponsor opportunities as well as team branding opportunities. So I think that's a great way to do it, too.
And that's a great... What I love that the Vegas Golden Knights do with Fleury is the I think you've seen on Twitter the donuts. Every mm-hmm. time he gets a shutout. And I think Dunkin' Donuts is...
I believe they are. Yeah, sponsor. There's a donut sponsor.
And I'm sure that started off as just a video of playing that up. A sponsorship person seeing this digital asset that's being seen across the country because, you know, I don't follow the Golden Knights and... I saw it on Twitter and it popped out for me.
Yep.
So I think piggyback, not going in saying we have a sponsor just for this, but looking at your content and saying, how can I get creative? I know this piece of content is getting a ton of views and a ton of engagement and interaction. How can I add in a sponsor that's going to be perfect for that and then play off that and even go further on that side?
There you go.
So. Cool. So that's this week's episode.
Those are all the highlights of your trip?
Three college basketball games in 3 days in three different states. That was probably the highlight of...
Did you get to watch the Super Bowl?
I did. Luckily, I flew home Saturday night and was able to sleep. And
what did you think of the commercials? Did you have a favorite?
You know what's interesting? My favorite was Bill Murray.
Same here. And the Bill Murray Jeep
and Groundhog Day. What's intriguing is that's my favorite because it caught my eye.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I know what Groundhog Day is. I know they're playing off of. But the commercials that really caught my eyes were not the ones that were posted beforehand.
Really?
Let's take the what was it, Baby Nut from Mr. Peanut having a funeral.
Yeah.
They led up to it, created a ton of buzz that there was going to be the funeral at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I remember it because of that anticipation and that piece there. But I think, I mean, I get why brands post their Super Bowl commercials early because mm-hmm. It's longer exposure for a larger amount of time. But if you really had ones that stood out, which, what is it, $5 million for that spot?
At least. Yeah. Or six.
Yeah. It's just, I'd rather build up with that anticipation and have that hit. And those were the two that I did. But to be honest, this is the other thing with TV and actually also at games as well, is when commercials came on, I jumped on Twitter and I was seeing people reacting to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So it's, unless that commercial really grabbed my attention and pulled me away from my phone, that's what they were sort of battling.
Yeah. There you go.
So what about you? Any that popped out for you?
Well, aside from the Shakira and J-Lo halftime show, we were partway through that. I was with a group of about 20 of us watching this thing, and everybody was just sort of, nobody was talking. Everybody was just sort of watching the halftime show, and I happened to have the remote, and I jokingly said, hey, I think the Puppy Bowl is on right now, and everybody looked at me horrified, like, no, what are you doing? So I thought it was I liked the halftime show. Super I thought it was clearly high energy. Well,
we talk about fit, that fits Miami so well.
That fits Miami, fits the demographic
of
you know, who Pepsi's trying to reach, obviously. Mm-hmm. So personally, I liked it. I know that there were some that thought it was maybe a little over the top, but I thought it was really good.
No, I thought it was great. Good performance, good tie-in, to the city.
Yeah.
It's always great when the Super Bowl halftime show captures the sort of culture of a city.
Yeah.
And obviously, Miami, that fits so well.
And I believe I heard this was the 10th most watched, highest viewership Super Bowl. So it's not bad.
Good. Great. Two great teams. One great defense, one amazing offense. And then, of course, I think the Niners, sorry for any Niners fans out there, but the Niners had like a 98% winning percentage.
Kyle Shanahan is getting a little grief.
Yep.
Do you remember his previous Super Bowl?
Yep.
When he was the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons?
Yep.
Kyle, buddy. If you're listening, Kyle, it's about that fourth quarter play calling. Yep. But anyway, okay. Good enough. Hey, Nick. Well, welcome back.
Yep.
If anybody wants to reach out to you to hear more about these splendiferous ideas that you have.
Yeah.
How did they get a hold of you?
You beat me to it this episode. Yeah. Usually I'm asking
you. I'm doing all the talking, and this time you did most of the talking, so I thought I would do the wrap.
Obviously, here on LinkedIn, definitely connect with me. Nick Lawson, co-founder and CEO of Squad, and that's the best way. Comment. and share this episode if it brought some value. But Rich, for you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, I'm right here on LinkedIn as well. My name is Rich Franklin, VP of Corporate Partnerships for the Portland Winterhawks hockey team. You can reach out to me here on LinkedIn, or if you want to go the email route, richf@winterhawks.com.
Yep. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. As always, send us your topics if any of them pop up, but keep pushing those limits within sports sponsorship.